Chapter 85. The sergeant nodded his head and waited for something else. Apostrophe Mr. Pickwick was anxious to call upon you, Sergeant Snubbin, apostrophe said Perker, to state to you, before you entered upon the case, that he denies there being any ground or pretense, whatever for the action against him, and that unless he came into court with clean hands, and without the most conscientious conviction, that he was right in resisting the plaintiff's demand, he would not be there at all. I believe I state your views correctly. Do I not, my dear sir? Apostrophe apostrophe said the little man, turning to Mr. Pickwick. Quite so, apostrophe replied that gentleman. Mr. Sergeant Snubbin unfolded his glasses, raised them to his eyes, and, after looking at Mr. Pickwick for a few seconds with great curiosity, turned to Mr. Perker, and said, smiling slightly as he spoke, has Mr. Pickwick a strong case? Apostrophe apostrophe, the attorney shrugged his shoulders. Do you propose calling witnesses? Apostrophe apostrophe, no. Apostrophe, the smile on the sergeant's countenance became more defined. He rocked his leg with increased violence, and, throwing himself back in his easy chair, coughed dubiously. These tokens of the sergeant's presentiments on the subject, slight as they were not lost on Mr. Pickwick. He settled the spectacles, through which he had attentively regarded such demonstrations of the barrister's feelings as he had permitted himself to exhibit, more firmly on his nose, and said with great energy, and in utter disregard of all Mr. Perker's admonitory winkings and frownings, my wishing to wait upon you, for such a purpose as this, sir, appears, I have no doubt, to a gentleman who sees, so much of these matters as you must necessarily do, a very extraordinary circumstance. Apostrophe, the sergeant tried to look gravely at the fire, but the smile came back again. Gentlemen of your profession, sir, apostrophe continued Mr. Pickwick, see the worst side of human nature. All its disputes, all its ill will and bad blood, rise up before you. You know from your experience of juries, I mean no disparagement to you, or them, how much depends upon effect, and you are apt to attribute to others, a desire to use, for purposes of deception and self-interest, the very instruments which you, in pure honesty and honor of purpose, and with a laudable desire, to do your utmost for your client, know the temper and worth of so well, from constantly employing them yourselves. I really believe that to this circumstance may be attributed the vulgar, but very general notion of your being, as a body, suspicious, distrustful, and overcautious. Conscious as I am, sir, of the disadvantage of making such a declaration to you, under such circumstances, I have come here, because I wish you distinctly to understand, as my friend Mr. Perker has said, that I am innocent of the falsehood laid to my charge, and although I am very well aware of the inestimable value of your assistance, sir, I must beg to add, that unless you sincerely believe this, I would rather be deprived of the aid of your talents, than have the advantage of them. Apostrophe, long before the close of this address, which we are bound to say, was of a very prosy character for Mr. Pickwick, the sergeant had relapsed into a state of abstraction. After some minutes, however, during which he had reassumed his pen, he appeared to be again aware of the presence of his clients. Raising his head from the paper, he said, rather snappishly, who is with me in this case? Apostrophe 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 Mr. Funky, Sergeant Snubbin, apostrophe replied the attorney. Funky funky, apostrophe said the sergeant, I never heard the name before. He must be a very young man. Apostrophe, yes, he is a very young man, apostrophe replied the attorney. He was only called the other day. Let me see, he has not been at the bar 8 years yet. Apostrophe, ah, I thought not, apostrophe said the sergeant, in that sort of pitying tone in which ordinary folks would speak of a very helpless little child. apostrophe Mr. Mallard, send round to Mr. apostrophe Funky's Holborn Court, Gray's Inn, apostrophe interposed Perker.
Holborn Court, by the by, is South Square now.
Apostrophe Mr. Funky, and say I should be glad, if he'd step here, a moment. Apostrophe, Mr. Mallard departed to execute his commission, and Sergeant Snubbin relapsed into abstraction until Mr. Funky himself was introduced. Although an infant barrister, he was a full-grown man. He had a very nervous manner, and a painful hesitation in his speech. It did not appear to be a natural defect, but seemed rather the result of timidity, arising from the consciousness of being kept down by want of means, or interest, or connection, or impudence, as the case might be. He was overawed by the sergeant, and profoundly courteous to the attorney. I have not had the pleasure of seeing you before, Mr. Funky, apostrophe said Sergeant Snubbin, with haughty condescension. Mr. Funky bowed. He had had the pleasure of seeing the sergeant, and of envying him too, with all a poor man's envy, for 8 years and a quarter. You are with me in this case, I understand? Apostrophe, said the sergeant. If Mr. Funky had been a rich man, he would have instantly sent for his clerk to remind him. If he had been a wise one, he would have applied his forefinger to his forehead, and endeavored to recollect whether, in the multiplicity of his engagements, he had undertaken this one or not. But as he was neither rich nor wise in this sense, at all events, he turned red and bowed. Have you read the papers, Mr. Funky? Apostrophe inquired the sergeant. Here again, Mr. Funky should have professed to have forgotten all about the merits of the case, but as he had read such papers as had been laid before him in the course of the action, and had thought of nothing else, waking or sleeping, throughout the 2 months during which he had been retained as Mr. Sergeant Snubbins Jr., he turned a deeper red and bowed again. This is Mr. Pickwick, apostrophe said the sergeant, waving his pen in the direction in which that gentleman was standing. Mr. Funky bowed to Mr. Pickwick, with a reverence which a first client must ever awaken, and again inclined his head towards his leader. Perhaps you will take Mr. Pickwick away, apostrophe said the sergeant, and hear anything Mr. Pickwick may wish to communicate. We shall have a consultation, of course. Apostrophe with that hint that he had been interrupted quite long enough, Mr. Sergeant Snubbin, who had been gradually growing more and more abstracted, applied his glass to his eyes for an instant, bowed slightly round, and was once more deeply immersed in the case before him, which arose out of an interminable lawsuit, originating in the act of an individual, deceased a century or so ago, who had stopped up a pathway leading from some place which nobody ever came from, to some other place which nobody ever went to. Mr. Funky would not hear of passing through any door until Mr. Pickwick and his solicitor had passed through before him, so it was some time before they got into the square, and when they did reach it, they walked up and down, and held a long conference, the result of which was that it was a very difficult matter to say how the verdict would go, that nobody could presume to calculate on the issue of an action, that it was very lucky they had prevented the other party from getting Sergeant Snubbin, and other topics of doubt and consolation, common in such a position of affairs. Mr. Weller was then roused by his master from a sweet sleep of an hour's duration, and, bidding adieu to Lowten, they returned to the city. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.